the most important thing that we'll find in our life, that we have daily walks, and our daily walks we get closer. But we are also supposed to be evangelizers. Every Christian who's born, has known Christ, must become an evangelizer through his life and through his love. So today's my message is the making of man catchers. We would like to catch men. Jesus called us to catch men. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for this morning. I dedicate every part of what I speak, Lord, my mind, my heart, my voice box to you, Father, and my lips to you. Let every word that comes, Lord, will come from you, only from you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Take control of this message. And everything that is spoken will come from you, Father. Nothing shall come from the flesh. I thank you, Father, you have prepared the heart, that it is a soil, Father, it's the earth, a soil which is fertile, that every word that is planted will become, Lord, a tree grown beside a river with flourishing water. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. This morning, I must relate a little bit about what my trip was into Indonesia and what I had an encounter last night, yesterday morning, I should say. The Indonesia trip was very powerful. God worked mightily. Signs, wonders, miracles did happen. And sad that Brother Joseph could not follow, so could be a witness, so I have to witness myself. And next time I pray that somebody will follow me so that you'll be able to see the witness of God in the place, that you can come a testimony as a witness to many others. And God worked mightily there, and I do not know. The journey was a bit hard for me because my back was giving way a little bit. It was hot, difficult on my back. But the harvest for God was great. Amen? The harvest for God is great. Man's heart changed from where he was to where he will be now, from glory to glory. Amen? That's the most important thing. So our life should be a witness. And yesterday morning, on Friday night, somebody called me and said, you come and preach in an Indian group, but this group is an ethnic group which I can't speak the language. I had difficulty when I went and saw a group of them who are Telugu delegates. I mean, Telugu dialect they speak. I can't speak Telugu, neither can I understand a single word of that. I said, Lord, I'm in trouble. If there is nobody here to interpret, I have problems tonight. And the Lord led somebody to come up, rise up, and the man was good, was able to interpret well. And that night too, they gave me the microphone at 11:30, and I did not know I have to end at 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought this was supposed to be a 45 minutes or maximum 30 minutes. And at night, people are sleepy, they will just go off. And I expected, and I prepared my message for half an hour. And they wanted ministering, so I prepared myself another 1 hour for ministering, individual ministering. So there were supposed to be about 100 old people, which is the congregation. But as usual, overnight prayers, you'll find about only 40%, 30% come. It was good that it was about 30% came, 40 people were there. And God started working. And after I finished my message, I went and sat down. The guy came and told me, and I said, Pastor, you're supposed to speak until 4 o'clock in the morning. Excuse me. Did I hear it right? I thought I was supposed to speak half an hour. It's already night and you all go to sleep. He says, you expected to speak until 4 o'clock. Oh, this is something new. I have never been to a place where I have to speak for 5 hours. So we started. Then they gave me a 15 minutes break. And after that, the ministering was good. And out of the ministering, there were a lot of deliverance that was happening in this church in Brickfields. And after the deliverance, words of prophecies were given to many people. And life, there is hope for those people who did not have hope any longer. They thought the life was dead end. They've come to the bottom rock place and they have to see a bankruptcy in their life or so many things that in their life. There is no more hope. Barrenness, I believe God has delivered out people from barrenness. Amen? So God is a good God. God is faithful when we are faithful. Amen? God is always faithful to us, but we are the one who are always turning back away from Him. That's not amen. That's ouch. Praise the Lord. So this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. And you know, there is a lot of things that he can speak about Matthew chapter 4. I would like to take only one verse from there and we'll expand on it today. Amen? We'll start from verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Today the word of God speaks to us something which is important in our life and our daily life. Being a Christian is something that we said, oh, I am a Christian, I am good. There are Christians, there are three types of Christians we see today. They become Christians for the namesake because they want to join congregation. There are Christians who want to go to a certain church because they want to get business from that church members. The third one is a business people. I know because of this group, because I was non-believer, when they asked me, you join this church, you bring with your Mercedes Benz, you can rub shoulders with people who got Mercedes Benz, and your business will increase, it's good. That's what I was told last time, before I became to know the Lord. And it's always somebody has got something out of their mind. In the mind they perceive something, that they expect something from God, from somebody, so that they can become, there's a lot of expectation from God when they come to know God. And when they don't get this, they feel disappointed. Amen. They have a lot of things in their mind, printed in their mind, and say, this is what I get, this is what I get, this is what I get. Promises. And they expect it to happen immediately in their life. The third type of Christian is Christians who come and sit in the church, and they said, I'm a Christian, I'm happy, I'm doing my duty every time. What is your duty? I go home, I eat, I become a good father, I could become a good husband, and I come to church every Sunday. I come and sit down for the next 1 hour, or maybe sometimes half an hour, or sometimes 3 hours, if they are still bearing here, and they'll sit here, and they'll go back, they've done their duty. That's another Christian. Another Christian is the Christian who gets himself to be a real, true Christian, being part of a life of Christ, being in the image of Christ. That's what we are looking here today for. Amen? Being in the image of Christ. Let's look at this. Let's look at this verse. Verse 19. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Just like brother, I do not know, coincidence, he's talked about legality. That's a contract. There's a contract within God. He said just now, he said, if you sow into this, that is a promise God has given to you. That's a contract. But here, I also see something, like in his way he's thinking, but I see something that there are three parts to it. The first part is about something that we have to do. The second part is something that God has got to do for us. The third part is the actualization of what we both have in contract, in common, and agreed upon. Amen? Praise God. See, a conversion of a heart must be something converted so that we can become Christians today, not for the sake of we want to be a Christian, but our heart should be converted, that our converted life will attract men and women outside so that they will also become converted and know their hearts is converted and know Christ himself. Amen? And be the image of Christ. The first part, let's look at the first part. Follow me. When he say follow me, he's asked this, two of them were standing there, Peter, to come, follow me. And what did the word of God says? He just left their net and they followed him. There was a separation from the net and the boat and Jesus Christ. They have to separate, number one, they have to separate away from the things they've been doing to be with Christ. Many of us do not want to separate away from the things that we've been doing sometimes in our life, or most of the times in our past life. Separation is difficult. I will speak about this breaking prison as a series from next week onwards. Breaking prison in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 onwards, he talks about his mission, but we are still not with it yet. Many Christians are not with it yet, are not onto it yet, because we still have that bondage. That bondage we still have within us, we carry it long in our lives. You have to break that bondages. We'll talk about it later. Today there's a separation he's talking about. A separation that we must be separated aside. Set aside, he says, the word of God says, you're set aside in Peter. And he says, you set aside for what? For the works of God. But set aside today, he said, there must be a separation within you and the things that you've been holding. Peter, can you just imagine, he was holding the net. And he was probably fishing the whole night. And he's holding the net. Probably he's clinging onto that or cleaning the nets. Whatever he's doing, he separated himself and followed Christ Jesus. Then when he says separation, there must be a kind of, you alienate yourself from the things that you've been doing often. Many things we've been doing in our life. I, as a businessman, have done so many things which the Lord doesn't like me to do. Many of us do a lot of things in our life as a businessman. Or even as a walk of a human being in our life, we do so many things which is not right. But when we come to know the Lord, we still continue to have the mind of those things that we have done, but we do not depend on God. Because when you separate away from the things that you've been normally doing, when you come to the person that you are coming to, that is Christ Himself, you will have total dependence on this person. And you'll not be double-minded. This morning, when I wanted to preach this morning, I had a double mind. I must tell you this. God was speaking to me about this message, and I was preparing the breaking the prison walls. Breaking away the prison. I said, Lord, tell me which one you want me to speak. I've already prepared this. He said, no, you speak on this, catches of man. You must get direction from God. That sometimes, you know, you want to speak my flesh. I want to be excited because I was counseling some people and I was ministering to people. I saw the problems in their life. Even Christians in the other day in the church yesterday morning, I see them, there are problems in their life. We cannot break away from habits. I've spoken about habits, breaking away from habits. But still, habit becomes part of your life. You cannot break away from it. So I was excited about it, and I said, Lord, I think you're speaking to me. I'm going to prepare this, breaking the prison and coming out of the prison. That's what you said in Luke 4:18. And you see, the desire of myself was on the flesh, of the things that I thought, of the things that I felt. But the God says today, speak about this. James, you're not hearing me right. Can you hear me right? This morning, can you hear me right? You took your time in the morning, guys, 6 o'clock, come and wait for me for what? You will hear me right. Not to just listen to your flesh. Listen to your flesh. We have to hear Him right. Separation means you separate from the flesh too. Separation is not something that you separate. Okay, yeah, fleshly things I will do outside of the church, but inside the church I'll be holy, holy or down. People look at me, oh, James, you're a holy man. Who is holy here? Hello? None of us are holy. We have to depend on His holiness. None of us are holy. We have to depend on His holiness. Amen? 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 We fall, yes, but we can come back to Him. But separating away from the things that we've been doing again and again and again and again is what we have to separate from. There are things that God says, there are certain things that God says that you should separate from when you come to know Him. When you come to know Him, separate, give away things. There are sometimes when you say, no, this man and woman, no, is made for this. The Word of God says, the man will leave his house, his parents, and go and live with his wife. Separation. There is a separation from his family to all start up his own family now. Is that right? Is that what God is speaking to you about? When He says separation, it's not said, don't have a relationship with them. Separation from the decision you make. You don't follow the things. Don't let somebody else come in inside into your family and say, no, your husband must be controlled this way. You know, your husband, you know, yesterday he came back, what time? 7 o'clock. Ayo, I think he must be having somebody outside. You know, mommy, yesterday my husband came back a little bit weird. He was a bit blur. Or maybe he's drinking with his friends. You must tell him to stay back. Who is giving all these insights? That's why I say cut off from that. You have an independent life, dependent on God. Separation means separating away from the things that you've been doing normally. You can ask advice, but still the wisdom comes from God. No man can depend on his own wisdom. He's got to depend on the wisdom of God. I like Solomon in this part. When he came, only thing, he became a sinful man later. He fell into the flesh. But otherwise, he had the first time when he came, he says, Lord, God, grant me wisdom to manage your people who are holy people, your saintly people, your great people. That's what I call. Right? He is great people of His, your great nation. Give me wisdom. Even Solomon, in order for him to be written today as one of the great men, even the Muslims believe that he is a great man. That wisdom came from God, not from man. When he came to the flesh, he didn't have wisdom. When he came to his own flesh, he didn't have his wisdom. There was no separation from his flesh and God's wisdom. He knew how to hear the God, but he didn't know how to separate himself from the desires of his flesh. So we have to separate away from the things of that old. In order for us to become, when he said follow, follow means totally follow. When you expect somebody in your life, when you expect your wife, as the head of the family, husband says, follow me today, we are going to this dinner tonight. Darling, I've already got one appointment today. I tell you, I'm following, follow me today. Forget about your appointment. Today is very important for me to go to my office. And we're having a dinner in my office. You expect people to follow you. And when they don't even follow you, you get angry. Don't we get angry? When my children, I tell them to do something, they don't do, I get angry. I get agitated, first of us. I get agitated. Even as a pastor, I'm telling you this, I cannot separate from that. Sometimes I get something, why are you doing this, son? I told you yesterday not to do this. You see, today you're in trouble because of this. We advise them, but they don't listen to us. We expect them to do it. When they don't do it, when they fall into the thing, we tell them, see, I told you so yesterday, what? I told you so yesterday. Day before yesterday, I told you again. Can you just imagine? He didn't follow me. So we get angry. Can you just imagine if you are human beings, we are asking people to follow us in the way, our weak ways, our unholy ways, or not a righteous way. What about God who is so righteous, so holy, He wants us to follow Him? No wonder many people are not converted to know the Lord. No wonder people who are non-believers, especially Muslims, or even especially Buddhists or Hindus, they can't follow us because we are not following Christ. What does it mean following Christ is like? You must be able to be in the molded in His image. What is being molded in His image? What are we supposed to do? We must abide in Him. Unless we abide in Him, we cannot get His image. What is abiding? What is abiding? How many of you know bud grafting? I happened to be, when I was young, a little bit doing farm, helping somebody else. A bud grafting, I mean, say, this wild branch in a tree, a plant, rambutan tree or whatever it is, it's wild. And then we have this seed thrown into a soil. After eating rambutan, I throw into the soil, and the soil, some or other fertilizes the seed. It manipulates the seed, and some or other, some growth comes out of the seed. And comes out another plant, wild plant. But you see, this plant is wild. They want to have the same fruit of this tree. The same taste, the sweetness, and everything else of the same tree. What they do is that they take out this plant and put it in a small package and carry it and bring this wild plant, this whichever is rambutan tree, the best tree. You bring that tree plant together, you scrape a little bit and attach it together. It becomes abiding inside one. After some time has become connected with one, what they will do is they'll cut off the branch from the main tree. And the small tree plant which is growing up, they leave it for a while and they'll cut off the plant which originally grew from the seed. So that now, the branch is now from that tree, fed by the seed, the roots of this seed. And it grows out to be exactly the same as that fruit tree. So when you have it grows up, it's somewhere around this height. The old one is higher, but this one is about this height. It'll start bearing fruits. When it bears fruits, it's exactly the same as what you ate last time. You're saying, was it from that tree? No. This is another tree. From that tree. Because it abided into the plant, it abided into the branch, and it abided together, it stuck together. And that branch became the life of this seed. No longer the branch came out from the seed, or the main trunk which came out of the tree is no longer there. Now we've got this branch coming out. Can you just imagine how beautiful it is like? I'm just imagining when I was young, I was doing this, helping us. One of those guys who were in our landlord. It's so beautiful. It's so nice. Because the fruit of that tree, of that plant, of that seed, is not from that original seed, but it's from that plant. We are supposed to abide in Him. When we abide in Him, there is everything that grows in Him, whatever flows in Him, will come to us. We will be a branch. It will be a branch of Him. So that we will not have our own thoughts, we will not have our own ways, but this branch will fruit the best fruit ever in the city. Amen? Amen? Abiding means knowing the things and desire of that plant, of that tree, of that main tree it came from, where it came from. The desire is to fruit the best fruit, juicy fruits. It's so nice. You see it also, it's beautiful. I want this fruit, not that fruit. Amen? How many of you had seen that kind of rambutans or durians out there? Durians, you cannot see all of them. We've got all thorns. But rambutans, you see beautiful ones up there. Nice. You want to have that one. Not the one which is so thin. Right? You want to have the juicy one, rounded, very nice. So the same way, we have to be fruitful as what Christ was fruitful to us in this world. Amen. We must be fruitful. So that abiding in Him means you must be able to get what His desires are, His thoughts are, so that we will know the desires and the thoughts of Christ, so that we will become like Christ, so that we can become bear fruits that will attract people. Amen? We have the freedom here to come and worship God. This morning we can come in air-conditioned places. I've said it very many times. We don't appreciate the things we have. This morning I was grumbling. I was angry with the landlord. For 1 week you don't have this lift operational. And I've got to walk up 3 floors, I said. And the Lord told me this morning as I walked up, though it's painful to some of the things I've been carrying, but the Lord says, appreciate. I showed you something people did not have. And you appreciate. At least you go up there, you have air-conditioned room. I was sitting there, no fan, nothing, you know. Can you just, I'm sweating like, no, sweating out and sweating out. My shirt was drenched. Color of the shirt changed when I was preaching. But here, you've got air condition. So much so I have to wear a jacket here. So, you know, to feel yourself very nice, cool, warm inside here. Which they don't have. Can you just imagine? We don't appreciate the things up here. But we tend to grumble about the things we don't have yet. Amen? Can you just imagine? If we, Christ was there. If Christ was the person who was walking up here. He'll say, hallelujah. At least I go up there, got air condition. In his time, there was no air condition at all. His air condition was when he's in the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. Probably the wind blows, right, cool wind. That's all his air condition. Probably when he was up in the mountain, the early morning wind, breeze blew. That's probably his air condition. But daylight is really sunny. And sunny means sunny, sunny. Hot. There's no clouds to hide the sun from the people. So today, we must abide in him. The understanding, whatever difficulty we go through, whatever things that we go through in our life, we abide in him. Know his thoughts. Oh, James, you don't worry. It's okay. It's for my sake. And for that, your rewards will be in heaven, not here. Don't look for rewards here. Don't look for something that somebody will give you something. No, no, no. Don't look at that. Do you follow what I'm saying? We always want rewards. But Jesus Christ didn't ask for a reward from us. He didn't ask for one single reward. He only said, I have a heart towards me. Believe me. Believe me. Trust me in everything. That's what he said. Nothing else. But it's so difficult for us to follow. Ouch. We must obey him. How do we obey him? How do we obey him? We don't want to obey him sometimes. We say, wow, it's very difficult to obey you, Lord. It's very difficult to learn from your way of learning, and it's difficult, you know, your laws are so difficult. How to be nice to my neighbor who is not nice to me? How to be nice with my boss who is not nice to me? How to be nice with somebody who has hurt me, who loved me before, now he doesn't love me? How to be nice to the person? How can I face the person again? And Jesus' answer. The people who spat on him, the people who beat him, he forgave them at the cross. Isn't that the greatest thing they can do? Is there anyone in your life who has come and said, you've tortured the person, and come and said, no man, I forgive you today. I forgive you totally, and gives you a hug and smiles and kisses you. Even somebody who forgives me, he says, I forgive you, but I don't want to see you again. Right? I personally had my own character has to change. I had to forgive somebody, but I don't want to see the person again. Because every time I see the person, the old incident comes up to my mind. It takes a process to forget that incident. It takes a long time for the injury to go away. But every time I remember Christ, what he did for me, like a rose trampled on the ground, he took the fall, he looked at me. Looked at whom? James. He looked at your name. He looked at you in the spirit. Before even he walked the next mile. Amen. To carry that entire next step and to carry that cross for us. That's the cross we have to carry. The pain sometimes. But we don't want. Obey. Obey him. He says, be nice. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to love thy neighbor as thyself. Not in Malaysia. You go to any country the same. People can be different ethnic groups or tribe. They still have the same attitude. We have to change that. We have to change that. Amen? Praise God. We must obey Him, obey His words, methods, the way He has done, the methods that he's been speaking, the way that He's been thinking. We have to obey Him. The way that He's taught everything in our life, every instruction that He's given us to, for the heavenly instruction He's given us, we have to obey Him and follow Him. Amen? Following is just not just, it's a process, but it cannot be overnight sometimes. Cannot be overnight. Obey Him means teach what He taught. Obey Him means teach what He taught. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. What did He teach? Teach what He taught. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. To teach the things that He taught. Not the things that I think it should be given to others. It's not my flesh. Things that He taught that I must teach. If there is anything I have said here in this church, if there is anything that you want to check, you can always check the Spirit. Test the Spirit. It's all right. It doesn't matter whether pastor stands here or an evangelist stands here. Anyone who stands here, you can test the Spirit. Whether it comes from the Bible or it comes from his own flesh. You must test. We must be teaching the things that He taught, not the things and ideologies that we have. The ideologies we have are all stale ideologies. His thoughts are fresh. Every day morning. Lamentations 3, 23, 24. What it says? What does it say? Can somebody turn and see? His mercies are? Lamentation. Praise God. Lamentation is after Jeremiah. What does it say? I want you all to read loud. Great is thy? Great is thy? Amen. Praise God. Great is thy faithfulness. Through the Lord's mercy, 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. That's what we are supposed to teach. Every morning that He gives us new things, His freshness must be there. His grace is sometimes we think it is, oh, stale grace. No, His grace is always fresh. Amen. His love is always fresh. Is not something He'll give us still. Why is it fresh? Because that is why the Word of God says we must renew our mind daily with the Spirit of God. We must renew our mind daily. Because our old stale things goes away. New things from God will come. A prophet, a person who knows the Word of God, he cannot depend on the old, but God will give him fresh revelations. Something very fresh for the times and the season. Amen? So God has got to give you fresh. So He's always new every morning. He's every day new to us. So we have to depend on Him, not from our flesh, what He teaches. Amen? The teachings must come from Him and not from ourselves. And the flesh should not prevail in us. Teach as He taught. Chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Teaching them to observe all things. Can somebody turn? 11:29. Read aloud. Some more. Amen. If you read from 28 to 30 itself, you'll find the whole truth about what is it like. Our focus is about Him. Sometimes we have our own experience in our life. We think our yoke is so great and our experience is so great. We find so great. And immediately, from belly here, sometimes something goes up here. You feel a little bit floated up that your experience, you overcame it. And suddenly it goes up to our brains. And then suddenly the head starts expanding. And you always focus upon your own experience. How many times have you felt that? I must be honest with you. I felt many times. Think about the things that you overcome. Suddenly something inside you works up nicely. You feel very nice, your body. And then suddenly some tingling sensation, very nice. And your brains become a little bit longer and bigger. And then your nose becomes longer and longer and longer. until it touches the floor and you smell the dust from there. Then you realize, no, your nose is long now. Why? Because your experience could make you gloat, but the experience of the Lord, His yoke, never make us gloat. He never gloated on it. He never took pride in it, but He took it as sacrifice for us. Amen. Amen. So He's, whenever we look at Him, say, brother, sister, don't worry. Christ is the one. He has gone through. What did somebody tell you? Oh, the person saying. Somebody also said something about Christ, you know, when He was out there. His yoke is lighter because He has worn it. He has overcome it. Our yoke, we still walk in our life here. We are still struggling sometimes in our life. Although our experience we had, gloating, but suddenly there is a new one which comes. You don't know how to climb the mountain. This mountain should be bigger than the old one. Sometimes the mountain can be smaller, but you don't know how to overcome it. But Jesus says, my yoke is better. My yoke. Many times in counseling, what we do is that we talk about ourselves and ourselves and ourselves and ourselves. End of the day, the person thinks that you are the God and that God is not the one. They become dependent on you. We cannot be dependent on someone. Our dependence should be only from Christ. Our dependence is only on Christ, never on someone. Even as a pastor, even as your pastor, you cannot depend on me because I am not the source of that love. The source of that love is Christ Himself. He is the one who overcame. I believe in Him. I trust Him. I can tell you about Him. I can tell you some of the experiences I had with Him and also what I went through, how He saved. But the focus should be on Him, not on the man. Many a times the problem is when the focus is on the man, then the people have got so many expectations out of you. I've had many times experience in my life as a pastor. When the glory of God shines, there are people who fall in love with the glory of God. But they forget it's the glory of God, not this man who's standing ugly man. Do you get me right? I have this problem sometimes. I told some of the brothers, follow me next time when I go. It's the glory of God. It can never be me. It's the glory of God you're attracted to. So when I speak or someone, God speaks to you into your life, it's the glory of God which gives him that strength to speak to you and give that wisdom to speak to you. The wisdom itself is a beautiful thing that you are attracted to the wisdom. That is why this man Solomon was attracted. He was attractive to many women. Anyone he asked, they said yes. The glory of God. You must know to differentiate. It's you and the glory of God. The glory of God can part from you when you're not right. When the glory of God is upon you, that's a special attraction. So don't be fooled. Let's not be fooled with somebody. That the glory of God is attracted. We are attracted to the things that of God in him or her, but not of the person. Amen? Are we getting somewhere? So it is should be teaching about him, the yoke that he carried, and is so light for us now that we can remember, okay, Lord, I know how much you went through. Can you just imagine what he went through for me? Oh, the same thing I'm going through. Lord, I can relate to you. I can relate to you. How people talk behind you. How people can bring you down. Everything that's happening in our world today, he's gone through. There's nothing that we are going through, he's not gone through. Temptations, he's gone through. Only three are mentioned. There are many temptations he would have gone through. So he overcame those. So he is the best person to look at, not on the man who counsels you or the woman who counsels you. Amen? So the attraction should be onto the Christ himself. He is the yoke. He is the one who gave the yoke. Teach what he thought, not what we think, what we can teach. Teach to people of such he thought to. Who are the people he thought to? Who are the people he thought to? Who are the people crowded around him? Lepers, prostitutes, blind, the sick, people who are destitute, no one to be a champion for them. Those people who didn't have anybody as a leader, he was one for them. That's why no wonder they wanted to make him as a king for themselves. Who else did he talk to? Those unwanted people, discarded people in the society. Those people who said, the Pharisees said, I'm holy at thou. The rabbi said, I'm holy. So the others are not holy. Those who are not holy, he's interested in them. He's interested in those people. He's interested in those sinful people. He's interested in those people who are downcast. He's interested in the people that whom you spoke and he says, you're not wanted in my house any longer. He wants him. If you're one of them, he wants you. If somebody don't want you, he wants you. We must speak to the people whom he spoke to. The problem is, many of us, we choose the people we want to speak to. We feel that this person is right. We are in the society sometimes up here, we don't want to go down, bend down. We are middle here, we don't want to bend down. We are somewhere down here, we think that we are already down, we don't want to bend down. There are people further than you down. Sometimes we think we are already the base, like Elijah, you know. Lord, Lord, you know, I'm in this cave, you know why? You know, I'm the only one who's living. I'm the only one for you. That time, the Lord just kicked him and said, no, hey, guy, I've got 7,000 other guys waiting there, you know, who didn't bow down to Baal. Sometimes we think we are the only one. The word stressed is only. I'll speak about it next week. Anyway. Only. I'm the only one. All the time being oppressed. All the time, people see me, they hate me, they dumb me out. You're wanted by God. You're wanted by Him. So preach to those people whom that we can preach to. Always remember, there are people worse than us. We're better off than others. We're always better off than others. There are people who have got no shoe, but you've got a shoe. There are people who don't have inner garments, they only have one inner garment. The time when I went to India, we were going through a village. The thing was passing by a village. The van was passing by a village. And the vans had to stop, was stalled because of mechanical problems. While we were waiting there, we saw green fields, beautiful, peacocks, very nice, beautiful. Among the scenes, we saw children walking around. We saw a girl who's adult, who's reached her puberty, and she's adult. And we can see her walking. There's nothing inside her garment, but one torn one. Here, thumb there, torn here, some torn here, some torn here. Can reveal everything inside her. One of the sisters immediately stopped that girl and went to her compartment, took out some of her clothing and gave it to her. I believe she gave her everything so that she can have for next day. I could see that heart of that woman. She immediately went out, took out, you know, she had a kind of shawl. She went and wrapped her out, called her out, and put her outside because there were a few men there. And I saw that compassion she had. That compassion of Christ must be in us. Let's not leak and see and peep. That's not attitude. See what we can do for that person. That was really good. I felt very nice for the sister. And I asked her, do you have any more clothing? No, Pastor. I can go to the other side. I can buy in the town. But I don't think she can buy. Can you see that heart? At that point of time of need, that she was Christ for that person. She was a Christ for that person. So Jesus was the champion for those people who are downcast, who are ill-treated. The society does not want. No wonder the woman who has had blood issues, she knew there is one person she can depend on. She had to come out of the city, from outside of the city, and enter the city where her death penalty will be really imposed on her, exercised on her. Because anyone sees her in the city, she's supposed to be stoned to death. That's what the law says. And she went through. I believe she went through all those things, struggle. She knows there is hope in this man of Christ Jesus. So-called Christ Jesus. He is this man. I've not seen him. I've heard about him. I want to go near him. I want to go near him. I want to go near him. Somebody would have stepped her. Somebody would have kept her. Yet she went up and saw that Christ. How many of us can be that Christ? How many of us want to be that Christ? Do we have that desire when we want to follow him? When he says, follow me, it's not just being a follower and sitting in an air-conditioned room and have a nice seat. There are seats which are so hard. For 2 hours, they have to sit down. Yeah, cushion seat. Bless the pastor who started this church, because she decided to have a cushion seat. We are sometimes not seeing what Christ do, but we want to follow what we do in the comfort. So we have to preach to the people whom Christ preached to. There are many of them out there in the streets. And I know now the KL Church has now decided to go around. A few of them got together. They go around the streets to get the people, gather the people, have a ministry for that. I'm blessed those pastors there. I'm really happy for them that God's Christ is working in them. And they're going out to bring the people in the streets. And yesterday one brother shared with me, there is even people who are non-believers from a special group which cannot be touched by any religion, as now ministering to people of their same religion. Not where? It's not in the offices. It's not in the air-conditioned room or nice tall towers. They're out there in the street to the drug addicts and the prostitutes who are Muslims. Do we have that heart? Do we have that heart of Christ? So we must preach to the people who need that, who need that that touch of Christ. If we can't preach to them, it's difficult. The second part of that message you'll find in the verse is that he says, follow me, I will teach you. So the first part is our part, to follow him, exactly where he follows. Our part is to follow him, exactly what he said, what he thought, what he thinks, what he desires. We have to follow him. When we follow him, then he will teach you how to become fishes of men. He's got his part. Brother was right this morning, you know, he's got contractual. His contract, his first part is ours. The second part is his. The second part of the contract is that he will. He didn't say, I will sometimes, bole, kadang. No such thing as that. He says, I will. Will means he surely will. Right? If you look at the word in the Greek, it's very strong. I will. Surely. No doubt. No way of going away from what I say. I surely will. What will he do? What will he do when we follow him? By following Jesus, he will work convictions in our heart to convict us, to convict others. You get me? He'll work in us, convict our heart in a conviction way. Conviction will come into us that will convict us, our heart and our mind, that he will be able to convict others around. That's his work. Can you go and touch somebody and say, now you feel the fire of the Holy Spirit? You say, now you can feel electricity on. Ever say, what's electricity? I don't find anything inside you. But only Christ can do that. Only Christ can do that. He'll convict us when we see the compassion of the people, the compassion will overflow in us. So much so, he'll make it flow and flow and flow. So you see the person and you say, no, I must help the person. Just like the sister who gave her clothing to this young girl who had holes everywhere. That we can do that. He will do it. That's his bargain. You go in me, you walk in me, I will let the Holy Spirit convict that part of your side. Wherever is your weakness, I'll make it my strength. Wherever is your weakness, I'll modify you. But you must follow me. You must follow me. Follow him. Follow him, then he will do his part of his side. His part is to, his bargain is that he will convict others. He will convict us. And our side of the example, whatever testimonies we have, that he will make that testimony alive. And that alive, that testimony will become alive. And it will be touching the heart of the person. That is why you'll find that when the word of God says, you'll be testify to your children, son to son's sons. Amen. So you'll start testifying to people of the goodness God has done in your life. Not about ourselves, but what I did today. You know, yesterday I used the brain like this, like that, like that, and everything. Came out of the solution for that. How God's grace was that in giving you that kind of brain. There are so many people I know of. I went to Sarawak recently. There is this temple they go to get riches. When they get riches, they go and have an agreement with the spirit in the temple. And the agreement is, you provide me whatever I can. The evil spirit is ever ready to give you whatever you want, as long as you give something to him or her. In the city I went to, I won't mention the city's name. Many of them in the family, as their mind, they go bunkers. they can't think right. There'll be one of the person in the family will be sitting down, still looking at you, blank, won't even wink your eyes, look at you straight. You'll be talking to them, you'll be looking at them straight. Why? One in the family, or one in a family who's rich there, have lost their life. Why? He wants something from you to give you something. Whereas here, Christ will give you everything. He doesn't need anything. He will be able to become in you, part of you. When you go to these places, you'll be able to see, sense the Spirit, and you'll cast down the Spirit. Amen? God will make it. And you will be able to heal this person. God will allow you to heal because His energy will, His love will flow through you. His love, it's actually His love. His love will flow through you. Electrifying love will flow through you and touch that person, and that person will be healed. And immediately, that person will know who healed him. It's Christ, not you. Amen? Amen? And I know another incident of a person. I won't mention the name. He's a multimillionaire. First time, the devil was driven out from this church. He went outside. I took them out for a coffee upstairs. The person who was driven out was delivered from the Spirit. Asked me one question right in front of everyone in the family. Why did you chase my friends away? Why did you chase my friends away? The agreement is, this person will not get married. The companion is the Spirit, the evil spirit, throughout a lifetime. You, it's sometimes ridiculous for you to hear, but I'm telling this is true. When you give something, when you want something from the evil one, he wants to get something out of you. But here Christ is not that. Christ will convict your heart with the compassion. When you go and pray for somebody, or when you minister to somebody, God will not look at you to the dollar sign or to get something out of them, but the compassion of love should flow into you, and he will make that happen. When that love flows through, that electrifying love will change their life, and they will become believers in Christ. Amen? That's what we have to do. It's his bargain. It's his bargain, part of it. He will do it. He will enable you to do it. How many of you have laid hands on somebody else and prayed and somebody was delivered from their sickness? Be bold enough. Carry your hands. Don't worry. Man of God. Bold of, bold hands. You have done so many things. How many of you have spoken to somebody else who are there downtrodden? They said, "Ayo, today my this world has come to an end. You know, I cannot." And then suddenly you prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, help me to minister this person." After ministering to them, they became alive. How many of you felt that? Testify, testify, testify. It doesn't matter who you are. Testify. When you carry your hand, you're testifying. That is the love of God flowing through you. Amen. God will enable. God will. He'll say, "I will not." He will. Sometimes you could be weak in your own life, but because of the circumstances of the person, that God will make you strong, that on the day you can heal that person. How many of you felt that? I know I had a backache. I know I cannot do it. It was so difficult. "Lord, why can't you heal me? Lord, you use my hand, but you cannot heal me. I put my hand here, not healing me." But God, when I laid the hands, the person next, 2-3 of them fall down. I said, "What's happening?" But my pain was not a problem for him. He says, "The more I give you pain, the more you call my name." I wouldn't know how many times I would have called his name from this morning, from the steps downstairs to the third floor. "Oh, Jesus, what's happening to me? Why are you giving me this pain? Lord, why is this pain so persistent? Can you take it away from me?" And he enjoys every time you call him. "Oh, my son, I love you when you call me. However in pain you call me, I love you." Then when you go up there, you relax. Then you know, I made it up here, not by myself. But he must be carried me up here. See how good God is? It's not about what is inside you or what you're going through. That is enabling that he will. He will. He will empower you. And I. Amen? Amen? Sometimes you could be sad. You could be having your own problems. But that problem becomes so small when you see somebody else's problem. And you will be able to motivate a person that Christ's love can encourage you. That encouragement that God will give you. And then you will be able to encourage somebody else. Amen? It's not you. It's Christ. That's his part of the bargain. "I will. I will. I will make you. I will make you." He will also, when you speak to somebody, secret, the best secret agent is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. You secretly work in the heart of the person who has got a iron heart or metal heart or even whatever heart, the hardest rock in this world. He will slowly melt it. Melt it. melted, and then suddenly become a flesh. Oh man. That's when he says, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done." It could take time. It might not take one day to speak to somebody else. But when something convicts somebody else, thy mind is not what you said right at the time. It's the work of God, Spirit of God, which touched the person. You speak the same word to me, it might not mean to me. You speak the same word to somebody else, it might not mean something. But that day, the Lord made that man's heart or the woman's heart so, so soft like a flesh. And the word that went through like a sword, with a double-edged sword. Cut that heart, pulled it out, what is rotten, and healed it. Amen. 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 That's what he does. So that part of his bargain is he will give you that whatever he has to give you all the time. He will always be with you. The third part of this bargain, the third part of it, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men, it's a figurative speech. Figurative. It's not that saying that you go out and fish men. Use a net today, you'll stand outside there. How I wish I could do that, you know. Stand upstairs in a high apartment. I see this one. Okay, I'll fish the one. Brought up. This is for the Lord, for you. And then next one. Right? Brother Kwan is already smiling because he's a fisher of men. Go up. Fish another one. Right? How nice. Oh, you throw a big... I see sometimes in go to KLCC, you see a lot of people crowding around. You just want to throw a net, everyone becomes... How many of you had the desire? I had the desire, seriously. The truth is, I had the desire. Lord, how I wish... just say something here, and the whole crowd here knows immediately, Jesus is my Lord. Sometimes we have the desire, but only God can do that. Amen? Amen? He gave a figurative speech, figurative saying that you are fishers. We'll make you fishers of men. Now, what is fishers of men? It's not fishing, it's the fisher we have got to worry about. What is the meaning of a fisher? It's a fisherman. Right? A person who fishes the fish is a fisherman. But a person who actually works the work, what kind of personality is looking at? He will make him to be a fisherman. We will make you to be a person who is dependent, number one, dependent and trustful. Why do you say a fisherman's character is dependent and trustful? He can depend on the person and trustful. Because this man in the morning or early in the evening, he goes out sailing into a rough sea. And especially in Galilee, the sea can be really, really rough at certain seasons. Because from that place where the wind comes, it's like, you know, you've got a long metal piece, you're blowing. Can you just imagine? You've got a small fire, you take a panel of pipe and you just blow and you see the fire grow up like that. Same way. Can you just imagine? This man goes out at night and next morning he brings back fish for all of us to buy. The market will be waiting. The ladies will be waiting at the site, waiting for the fish to come. And the fish comes, the fellows will buy, the fishmongers will buy and sell it to everybody else. And everybody have their meal today. Amen? If the fisherman did not go to the sea that day, he will not be able to get fish. A fisherman is a man who is trustworthy. A man you can depend on. So a person to become a dependent, a person who can depend on, first of all, you must walk and the Lord will enable you. And the third thing that he'll make you to become a dependent person, that you can depend on him and you can be dependent on. Amen. The image of you can depend on him, you can be dependent on. Somebody comes and tells you, tomorrow morning I'm going to come to church at 9 o'clock. I'll meet you at 9 o'clock, Brother Kwan or Sister Joyce or any one of you. And the person, Brother Pastor James, did not come on time. How do you feel? How do you feel? Is it trustworthy? Is it trustworthy? No. Every time you give that word, every time you break it, you become, you slay back, you go back, backwards. You don't go forward in your life. You must be dependent on. People can depend on you. People can depend on. Jesus was dependent upon. People so much so, the word of God says, they pressed onto him so much that he had to go and ask, Simon, can you have this boat? Push it out inside. They pressed on him. The word of God pressed on him. They depended on him. They were hungry for word. They were hungry for salvation. They were hungry for some things to happen in their life. They did not know where to go. They have to depend on this one man. We are his disciples, aren't we? Aren't we? So we are his disciples. So people can depend on his disciples. Amen. People who came after him, the apostles, the disciples, they depended on him. Peter was dependent. They called him, here, come to Joppa, quickly come and heal this woman, raise this dead. He did. He was dependent. People can call him anywhere. Cornelius sent for him. He was out there. He can be dependent. Yes, come, come inside. Tomorrow morning we'll go together. When Joppa, this woman, Dorcas, was dead, and this he was in Lydda, sent two people. He came. He didn't say, no, I will see my appointment time, my diary, and I will see whether to this month I can come or next month I can come. The dead person is waiting there for you, so that you can exercise the Christly work onto the dead person, and the dead person can rise up. Amen. Amen. Why are we not working? Because we are not dependent. And we cannot be dependent on. That is why some of them, sometimes when you pray, it is not working. You can ask yourself, Lord, why did I pray today? Why is it not working? Why is it this person I prayed for today is, Lord, I do not know, Lord. I prayed with my heart. I prayed with my all that you've given me. Lord, can't you heal him today or her today? How many of us, after praying for somebody, go back home and pray for the person again? It's important. You can come and pray for everybody here, nice, you know, joy. But if you don't go back and drink about those people you have prayed for, they say your compassion is not there. Amen. 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 So God will make that, make you dependent. The person who is dependent and trustful. Because you can depend on this seaman, on this fisherman. He can go out and get the fish for you next day morning. Next day morning, you can wait at the seashore and wait for him and come. He will bring the fishes for you. He's dependent. Trustworthy. Whatever the sea might be, could be rough, could be really bad that night, but somehow or other he'll bring some fish for us. Amen? So that's why he's dependent. He'll make us to be a man, fisherman, who's dependent, trustful, but he's also, he delights, the fisherman delights, and he is preserving. Fisherman does not go there to just do the job like that. The man fishing must delight in the job he's doing. He must really be happy, enjoy his job. Otherwise, to be a fisherman is difficult. Can you just imagine sometimes at night, it's so cold, sitting there, no fire? Even at least at the seashore, you've got some fire. You can put on some wood, some twigs on some wood there and get a fire, okay, make yourself warm. In that night there is cold breeze coming out on you. And there's nothing you can do. He wants to go to the toilet, he's going to do it there. You've got a nice toilet to go up here. No convenience for him there. But he delights the job he does. He looks forward the next day morning. He just could imagine people waiting at the seashore when he brings that fish. How happy the people will be. He delights in that. He delights in seeing people being happy, being fed. Are you willing to feed others? Are you willing to feed others with the word of God? Are you willing to literally feed with food? Can you be dependent? Can the street people are there, there's no home. Can they depend on you tomorrow at 12 o'clock? You can go there and meet them at one place and give them food tomorrow morning. Or could you give them dinner at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock at one place? Can you be dependent? Whether say rain or shine, whether you're sick or not sick, you are still there on the day. Can be. Can be. You do not delight in the things there. He is so meticulous in his job. He has to prepare his job. Prepare means before morning he goes, he has got to come back in the morning. He has to take out all those things which is not right, which is all those things that stuck to the net. He has to clean the net. That's why early in the morning when Jesus was there at the seaside and in Galilee and he found that his man, Simon, was actually mending his nets. Some of the net are torn. They have to mend it before they go and sleep. The whole night they were fishing, and just imagine, you want to sleep now, tired. But in that, he still mends. He's so diligent. He mends his net. He does the things that he should prepare for the night. He's diligent in what he does. Are we diligent in what we do? Are we diligent? Hello? Are you all with me? See the next person. Say, hello, are you still here with me? Are you in a dreamland? Can you touch the person and say hello? Can you just touch the person and say hello? Maybe the electricity of the Lord will flow now. And suddenly you'll see he is waking up. Or she is waking up now. Okay? Wonderful. not only this person is so meticulous in doing the thing, he delights in preserving the net himself so that he can use it again for tomorrow, but he is also intelligent and watchful person. He must be intelligent. Many people think that, no, fishermen are stupid people. You think that fishermen, that's why they sometimes, all the time, Peter is so stupid that every time he does things which is not right. He says things which is so silly. Right? He thinks fisherman is stupid. He has to be intelligent. He has to know the weathers. He has to see the clouds. Even till today, I don't know when the rain comes, don't go. He knows the time. He stands there, he will tell you, what time is it? I have to wear a watch to say, tell the time. He's intelligent. He has got to know where the fishes will gather around. Intelligent. So he's not stupid. So we have to be intelligent in our thinking before we can speak to others. We have to be intelligent to follow Christ. He will make us intelligent if we depend on Him. If we depend on Him, He'll make us intelligent and watchful. Many of us are not watchmen. How many of us are watchmen for your own house, for your own city, for your church? We spoke about watchmen. I told you about watchmen's duties. What is a watchman's duty like? A watchman has his calling. This man is watchful. He's watchful of the tides. He's watchful of the waves. He's watchful. What's the weather? Wind side of the wind blowing. He's watchful. If you're not watchful, you can go against the things. You can flow away with the things that happens in the world. If there is something happening, if the wind is blowing, if there's a wave coming this way, he cannot be just flowing with that all the time. He'll be crushed at a side, at a seaside. He knows how to mend his way out. He's got to find his way out. He's intelligent. He's watchful. He's got to be watchful. How many of us are watchful? How many of us are watching around our society? How many of them need help? How many of us are watchful? Seeing, oh, is my neighbor needing some help? Or is the other person needing some help? Are they going through some problems? Is there any way I can help them? Is there any way I can counsel them? There's a big fight in the family there. I see every night they're fighting. Somebody's fighting there in the house. Or quarreling. Can I go and help them? How could I make friends with somebody there? Watchful. If you're not watchful, how can you be understanding the people around you? You must be watchful. You must watch the tides. Watch the clouds. Watch the things, the season, the moonlight. When the moon comes out, they know certain kind of fish will come. Man? Praise God. Wonderful. He knows. He's not only a person who goes and watchful, but he's very laborious. He's a laborious person. He's very laborious. He doesn't say, I must sit outside there and just watch them and wait for the fish to come. He's laborious. He rows his boat. At that time, there was no motorboat, you know. Go out, pour some petrol, go out there. They couldn't find that petrol at the time. Probably it was there. It was hiding somewhere. They couldn't find it. They couldn't invent that motor at that time. But he's intelligent and he's laborious. He was laborious. He didn't use any machines, but he was using his own physical body. He depended on his body to break him, to take him from one place to another place. And that boat, probably a small boat or a big boat, I do not know. But whatever it is, he's got to be laborious. He has got to labor his way out. Many of us watch. When is these people going to come to us? When they come, I know. They see, I'm really prepared. You know, I'm an evangelist, you know. See, I'm waiting for the people to come. Then I can release what I've got all the time here, up here, up here. Brother, the Jesus didn't wait in Jerusalem, the temple there, you know. He went outside. He was walking miles and miles in the sunshine and also in the rain, and also the clouds, the wind, whatever it is. He was walking. He was walking laboriously. No camel. Sometimes the camel also, he probably pitied the camel. They also don't have water how to drink. And he's got to take water for the camel and also for the donkeys. Right? He didn't wait for the people. He went to the people. Unless the present church goes to the people, they cannot see Christ in everywhere. You might be asking me, Pastor, sometimes you take off from here and go off and do some things. Because I feel there's a need outside there too. If I were to sit down here in air condition and sit down and say, I'm waiting for the people to come. Yes, many of you, some of you would have come here because somebody referred you to come here for counseling. Some of you waited for a word and they wanted a life, a direction. You came here. People come to and go from different churches, come and go. They are expecting something from God, a direction, a word. You might have got it. If God, what you have granted, you just leave. But God wants you to sow seed into others. So the gospel will proceed. Gospel will continue to somebody who's not heard. Unless we go and exercise what is given to us outside there, we will be actually losing the muscle that God has given to us today. The church is outside. We have to gather them on the 7 days and on the one day come here, on Sunday come here. Rejoice with them. Be happy with them. Celebrate with them, for there is one more sheep found, not lost. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. To be outside there, not inside. They're self-denying. They deny self. There are many of them at night, you know, they enjoy with their family sitting down having dinner at house, have a nice candlelight dinner. I don't think a fisherman ever had a candlelight dinner, because he has got to go out every day. There's no one day that he doesn't go out. We have candlelight dinners. We can sleep in a cozy place. But he denies all that thing to go out so that we can be fed with fish. So next time when you see a fish, remember, somebody has sacrificed so much his personal life to give that fish on their plate. Somebody has sacrificed. Amen. But nowadays we have got so many people who have modern boats, so many things out there they are enjoying sometimes, fishermen. He's self-denying. He denies a lot of things. Sometimes we have to deny ourselves so that we can reach somebody else. So he will make us to deny ourselves. Sometimes the God calls us to deny certain things. Sometimes the appointment that you have could not be so important. Sometimes you want to go and enjoy in some pub. God is not so important. But when God gives you a word, you deny the things that are of enjoyment. Then you go out and see it, attend to somebody else. And God will actually bless you. God will make a way for you. Amen. And lastly, lastly, he is a man who ventures into dangers. A fisherman ventures into dangers. He knows the sea is rough. He knows there shall be danger in the sea. But he does not stay outside there, wait for the sea to come down and go. He goes in wherever, anytime. When he's in the middle of the sea, when the danger comes, he doesn't escape from the place. He knows how to overcome it. A person who can overcome dangers in his life. A person who can overcome problems in his life. How many of us can overcome things like that? How many of us look at a mountain, we've got a problem right in front of there, we run away from the fire. We turn away from the fire. The fisherman does not. He's right in the spot where the waves come, when the storms come, he's up there. He is able to overcome dangers. He can penetrate through dangers. He can penetrate to dangers. That's what a fisherman is all about. When you become a fisher of man, a fisherman, you are supposed to be a person overcoming everything. Amen? You'll be able to come. You can go into dangerous place. If you think that, oh, pastor, that house is haunted, I cannot go, that area cannot, you know, because it's haunted. They say a lot of spirits there. That's the place you should go. Lord, if that house is sold for one ringgit, I'll buy it. Because God is going to work through me, that He is going to enable me, that the spirit there, see me, will run away. Because who He lives in me is greater than He see of the world. That word is true. Unless you don't believe the word. If that word is true and you're confessing it, say, oh, that house is for sale. All right, that's fine, I'll buy it. Probably God is telling you to go there, cast out the demon, stay there. Could be a nice bungalow, no? I'm still looking for the owner of that house somewhere in Ampang there. And near the lake. They say it's haunted. Nobody wanted. Maybe we can move our church there. Wonderful, isn't it? I'll stay up there. It's okay. Wonderful. Because that property is supposed to be thus. Whatever demon holds will become ours. Whatever is in Egypt, God will release the wealth of the Egypt. Where is the wealth of the Egypt? These are the things. Strongholds holding these houses for us to conquer. But we Christians, ayo, cannot la. Cannot. Ayo, the number is not right la. Oh, that number is dangerous number. I cannot stay in this house. I must change house. No wonder it is cheap. Stay in that house and God will bless you. Your faith. He can go through dangers anytime. Dangers can come. He can see the danger and he knows how to overcome it. He can hit the danger and he passed through the danger because he can penetrate. Amen. He's an adventurous person. He adventures. He ventures. When you've got a spirit of God, it must go through adventures. If the spirit of God is just sitting there and waiting for you to do something and you are not going through ventures, you can't take anything. You want to go into business, you say, oh, this business is all right. This business is okay. I think I'll go and venture into it. But in this spiritual realm, you don't want to because you don't trust the spirit of God who's inside you, who's greater than the needs of the world. He's a successful man. A fisherman is a successful man. There are not many fishermen who dies in the field. I've never heard of that. All the fishermen comes back and successful. All the fishermen come back and be successful. Peter was not an ordinary fisherman. He was probably the owner of the fishing company. He was a successful man. If you read further about fishermen and then Peter and John, you will find that they were doing everything their own boats. And he says, partners, come forth. And you'll see he's successful in what he does. God will always give you abundance. Brothers and sisters, in order for us to become fishers of man, we must know what God has got for us. We must know that God's confidence and love is on us. In order to know that God says that he's given a word, the word is one. Follow me. I will make you fishers of man. Fishers of man is just a figurative, but it will make you to be a person like a fisherman. If you trust him, believe him, and everything else, your life will attract people towards you. The glory of God will be upon you. You'll be attracting people to the kingdom of God. And that's what we are supposed to do these times. Our image has got to change. Our thinking has got to change. Our lifestyle has got to change. That we will become an image of Christ. An image of Christ is something that we long for. Then wonder, the psalmist all the time say, Lord, I seek your face, Lord. I seek your face. Nothing else I want to do but to seek your face. Sit in your temple and seek your face, Lord. Seek your face. The temple of God is you and I. Seek his face. Seek his character. Seek his ways and his desires and his love. God will make us a different person. This year, now, not tomorrow. Now, today, if you want your desire. Is your desire for him? To follow him? Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He did not ask you to go alone. He told you to go because he says very clearly here, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He'll never depart from us if you follow him. He'll never, never depart from us. And his word is true. And his word is for us to become the fisher of man, so that our characters will be changed, that we'll abide in him, that he'll abide in us. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken into our hearts, that everything spoken of, Father God, is a seed planted in us. Knowing that you are a God who can overcome for us everything, that we just have to follow you, Lord. And the character of ours will change. And you'll mold us into your ways, and to your desires, and to the plans that you have for us. Lord, you are the hope for us, and you are the faith for us, Lord. And we cannot depend on anyone else except for you. We bless you for this morning's message. We bless you for the word. Bless you, Lord, for everything that you are going to do in us. We expect things, greater things to happen in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.